Today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will hear and apply a truth to my life that I might be transformed into your image. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask you, if you would please, to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Mike, if you'll come join me. Matthew chapter 8. I want to read you verses 5 through 10, please. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, no, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 9, the centurion said to Jesus, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me, I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, cometh, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he does what he's told. Verse 10. When Jesus heard these words from the centurion, he marveled and said to his own followers, verily I say to you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Here in this particular historical account, where Jesus runs into this centurion, Jesus links together the ability or the concept of being under authority, being tagged with or linked with faith. And one of the reasons why we lack faith, and many of the reasons why people are so faithless, is because they are out from under authority. The reason we are having this discussion today is because for the last several weeks, we have all been excited about Dad in the Hallway and the new vision that God is birthing among us, and the sense that is in our spirit that God is on the verge of doing something really big in our fellowship. And please understand me, when I use those kinds of words like that, I'm not talking about our secular concept of big. I don't care if we ever get any bigger than we are, as numerically wise. What I'm talking about is God's move among us being big. That's what I care about, okay? People, I don't want to say people are irrelevant. Let me say size is irrelevant. People are important. Jesus died on the cross for people. But size is irrelevant. That God is doing miraculous things in our midst. That's what's important. Amen? And that we have a very clearly defined vision, that we know where it is that we're going and that we're moving forward. And in fact, I've got some announcements that are going to be coming to you in the next couple of weeks after I have a chance to talk to the elders that I think that you will find extremely exciting about some things that God is doing among us. But as I take a step back from that and I ask the question, what, from a pastoral perspective, do I perceive? Boy, that was a lot of P's right in there, wasn't it? Pastoral perspective that I perceive. That what is our greatest landmine? What is that thing that if we're not careful of, we're going to step on, it's going to explode and we are going to implode? And it is a lack of understanding concerning the subject of spiritual authority. I'm going to be bluntly honest with you. I personally have been very disappointed in many people who have come and gone from our fellowship in the last several years from their lack of respect for, maybe caused by their lack of understanding in, the subject of spiritual authority. And much of that disappointment comes from the fact that 90% of everything I learned from Pastor Jim, and that these people learned the same thing and yet chose to walk a different path. We had a situation here recently. Many of you will remember when Cindy's son and daughter-in-law drove out to Colorado. And Judy called me up and she said, listen, they got, 500 miles away from home and they had car trouble. We want to be praying for them. And the first thing that I asked Judy was, did they have permission to go? Now, whether or they did or didn't doesn't mean I'm going to help or not going to help. What I'm trying to determine is God in this thing? Because if you go out and you do something on your own and you shoot yourself in the foot, that's up to you. Doesn't mean I might not help you, okay? But I'm just trying to figure, where is God in this? Because what happens is when we walk away from God, we take the umbrella down and the devil just reigns on top of us. But as long as we're walking under the umbrella of God, sometimes the enemy can still get to us, but God is there protecting us. And my question was, are they in a position where God is protecting them, or have they struck out on their own? And Judy said, I don't know. I said, well, let me find out. Because not only is spiritual authority important to me, you've got to understand, if you're going to sit under this ministry, if it's important to me, it needs to be important to you, because that's exactly how I'm going to perceive, that's exactly how I'm going to minister to this church, is from my premises. And my premise is this: if you are out from under spiritual authority, you have walked out from under the protective umbrella of God to open yourself up to the assault of the enemy. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't pray for you. That doesn't mean that we don't help you. That doesn't mean that we don't care. What it means is that we can't help you get that right unless you are willing to come back up under spiritual authority. And if you're not willing to come out from under spiritual authority, if I put a Band-Aid on you today, if I put a small Band-Aid on you today, you're going to need a bigger Band-Aid tomorrow. And if I put a bigger Band-Aid on you tomorrow, you're going to need a cast the next day. And if I put a cast on you the next day, you're going to need a body cast the next day. And if I put a body cast on you, you're only a step away from needing a casket.
Amen.
Spiritually speaking, if we move ourselves out from under spiritual authority, you can hear from the passion with which I'm sharing this. This is a very important subject to me. And if you perceive that I'm screaming at you, I am, but I'm not. I'm not screaming at you, I'm screaming with you. So scream back. You're right, Pastor. Scream it.
You're right, Pastor.
Okay. Thank you. So we're all screaming now. But I've had a huge disappointment in people that I know who knew better. Who then 6 months, 6 weeks, 6 months, 16 months later call me up. This tragedy has happened and that tragedy has happened. Have you seen it happen once? I've seen it happen 1,000 times. Where tragedies enter into people's lives because they move themselves out of the alignment that God endeavors to try to put them in. We subject ourselves to great danger when we move out from under spiritual authority. When I answered the call to be the pastor here, I went to John Jenkins and I said to him, I want you to pastor me as I pastor them. And I want to tell you something right now, ladies and gentlemen. There isn't, you don't ever have to even question this. Okay, you can if you want. Okay, but I'm going to tell you what the answer is going to be in advance. I don't ever make any kind of serious decision concerning this fellowship that it ain't run through John first. That's how dedicated I am to this concept. That's how dedicated I am to this principle. This is how dedicated I am to the belief that this is where God wants me to be. Now, is he always right? No. Okay, but whether he is right or wrong, that's not my responsibility. My responsibility is just like the centurion said. He said, I tell one man to go and he goes. I tell another man to come and he comes. I tell my servant to do something, the servant does it. The servant doesn't say, is that the right thing to do? He does what he's told. I remember a couple of years ago when John and I were just talking about something else altogether, and all of a sudden he asked me. He said, are you familiar with that revival event that's going on down in Florida? Anybody remember what that guy's name was? Okay, that revival event that was going on down in Florida a couple years ago. I said, no, I hadn't heard anything about it. He said, let me just warn you, don't get involved. I said, yes, sir. Not why not, what did you hear? I don't care. The centurion says to the servant, go and he goes. He says to another, come and he comes. Don't get involved. I'm not going to get involved. Well, it wasn't but a few months later. We found out what the problem was and the whole thing folded up and imploded on itself. And there's still a huge fallout in the church today as a result of it. I'm glad I wasn't there when the shrapnel started flying. All because I simply said, yes, sir. End of subject. Now, here's the question. What if he was wrong? Well, that's between him and God. That's between him and God. And I believe that God, if he's wrong, God's big enough to correct both of us. That God is big enough to protect me even if he is wrong. Because it's not a matter of right and wrong, it's a matter of whether or not I am willing to be under authority. Am I willing to have headship? Am I willing to not only be a leader in one position, but be a follower in another position? Because you see, you can't be one or the, well, you can probably be a leader without being a follower. No, excuse me. You can probably be a follower without being a leader, but you can't be a leader without being a follower. Because God is not going to call you to a leadership position so that
you can be the leader.
Because that's not what leadership in the kingdom of God is about. Leadership in the kingdom of God boils down to this. He who would be greatest among you needs to remember that you are first a servant. That's what you got to first remember. Michelle and I were talking this morning about the man that I work for in my secular job is a fine, fine Christian man. And he called me up and he said, I want you to go out. I want you to buy Ken Blanchard's book called The Servant Leader, and I want you to read it. And I want you, the first of the year, I'm going to bring all the managers together, and I want you to train on what it means to servant lead a sales organization. And Ken Blanchard's book on servant leader asked this question. Are you a servant leader, in other words, a person who leads people by serving them, or are you a self-serving leader? That's the question. Now, in a secular environment, that's an amazing question to even ask. Okay? But he said, after the first of the year, I want you, when I bring the managers together, I want you to train my managers on how to be servant leaders, not self-serving leaders. I said, yes, sir. Gladly. Be glad to. Okay? Yes, ma'am. Okay, I'm a little confused on the question. You're talking about who do you go to? Okay, okay. The question was, on the subject of spiritual authority, then, who do you go to? You go to whatever authority structure is set up you go to whatever structure is set up in the place that you have submitted your life to. Okay? So like here at Lamplight, in fact, this is getting ready to shift, and I'll let you know more about that. But we have a structure of elders and pastor, that you can go to either, or both and, okay? If Tiffany is not in either one of those positions, it's okay still to talk to Tiffany and get her advice or whatever. But don't take Tiffany's counsel as being the counsel of the church. That's just Tiffany's counsel. You understand what I'm saying? But when Charlie speaks, Charlie speaks for the Pastor Don. When Mike speaks, Mike speaks for Pastor Don. Let me get back to my secular job. I got two bosses, but my other boss, who's not a Christian, but he understands certain Christian principles. And one of the things he said when he when he elevated me to my current position, he said to the people who work for me, when Don speaks to you, it's the identical same thing as if I had said it to you. It's the identical same thing. If you don't do what he tells you to do, that means you're not doing what I told you to do. And if I find out you're not doing what I told you to do, you're terminated. And that's, you know, that's the way it works in the secular business, okay? And
especially in sales.
and so Tiffany doesn't speak for me. Okay? But Charlie speaks for me. Teresa speaks for me. Mike speaks for me. Which is why I'm very careful about who I put in that. Bryce speaks for me. Because that's why I'm very careful about who I put in those positions. Because I want to be sure that we are all talking together. Okay? And in one voice. Right. In one voice. We're all saying the same thing. And here's the thing. Me and Charlie, we can disagree. Okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to huddle. Charlie's not going to disagree with me and come tell you about it. Charlie's going to disagree with me and he's going to talk to me about it. And we're going to huddle and we're going to put our heads together and we're going to come to some sense of agreement. Okay? And then when we step out of the huddle, we're going to present a united front. But what happens, this is a good analogy, what happens if in the huddle the quarterback calls a play and one of the linemen says, I don't think that's what we ought to do? You know, that's not how it happens. The line does what the quarterback instructs them to do. And that's what creates a team. And the more that that team is in unison, the more successful that team is. One of my analogies my particular management style is that I manage by a team concept. And one of the illustrations that I draw for people is this. Michael Jordan is probably the greatest basketball player to ever step on a pair of shoes. Okay? But, having said that, I never saw him play 1-on-5. Right. Never saw him play 1-on-5. It was always 5-on-5. And the other four actually elevated him to better than he was, but he elevated the other four to better than they are. The only reason we know Scottie Pippen's name is because of Michael Jordan. And that's how the kingdom works. The kingdom works not that one is elevated and another is not, but that we all rise together, elevating the kingdom as a whole. That's how it works. You follow me? Great question. So, I want to give you an illustration, and then Mike's going to give you an illustration, and then we're going to talk about this some more. So, there was a period in my life where when Pastor Mike was pastoring a church in Matthews, North Carolina, well, there was a period in my life where I swore and cursed that I'd never go to church again. I'm just going to be bluntly honest with you. Okay? I swore and cursed I will never enter another church door until the day I die. God strike me dead, I don't care. I'm not ever going to church again. Well, you know, that sort of calmed down over a little period of time. And then Michelle, she fell in love with this guy, I can't remember his name now, the guy who was the preacher and he out there at the college and all that. And so she was like, Don, I want you to go to church with me. Don, I'm like, no, I ain't going to church with you. I'm not going. Well, Don, I want you to go to church with me. Don, I want you to go to church. So, okay, all right, I'll go. Don, I ain't going to like it. And I really didn't like it all that much. I didn't think that guy was all that good. But, you know, Michelle liked him, and he was cool. I mean, he wasn't like he was, you know, he wasn't like the TV preachers who were, you know, just crazy. I mean, this guy was all right. So I went just to go with, because I really went to church to be with Michelle. That's why I went. Be honest with you. Okay? Then Michelle and I, she started butting heads with me. That's the way I remember it. We started having a little misunderstanding. And a mutual friend of ours says, well, I got somebody I'd like for you to talk to. So they introduced us to Pastor Mike. And we started talking. And I tried really, really hard to run him off. I cussed him. I jumped up and down. I got all red-faced. I called him every name in the book. I told him he didn't know what he was talking about. You know, and sitting in that marriage counseling with him, he just sit there just like he's sitting right now. Just all sweet and everything, just looking at me. I'd take a breath, and he'd look at me, and he'd go, you know what? The gift and the calling there without repentance. Boy, that just made me that much madder. And I'd start screaming at him some more, just trying to intimidate him, just trying to overwhelm.
He just let it wash right on by him. He'd just sit right there and wait on me to get done. When I get done, he'd repeat it again. The gift and the calling. If you said it to me once, sit down. All I know is, Don, the gift and the calling. They're without repentance. And you know what? I could not get away from that. I'd still hear his voice hours after we left his office. Well, he helped Michelle and I work through that little problem in there. And things started getting better. And so we started going to church, Pastor Mike's. And we went there, Went there a couple years. And then Pastor Jim came to me. And he said, son, I'm getting ready to retire. I want to try to put things in order. I really believe that God is calling you to fill in after I go. Years ago, Pastor Jim and I had talked that when he retired from Lamplight, the church was going to close down. And there are reasons behind that. But that's what we had talked about years ago. I thought that's what was going to happen. But he came to me and he said, I want you to take over. I said to him, I'll have to talk to my pastor. I'm not going to make a life-changing, life-altering, spiritual decision without submitting it to the person to whom I have submitted my life. I will have to speak to my pastor. Because you know what? That's how I'd been taught. That's how I'd been raised. That's what I was told was Jesus' will for me. So I called Pastor Mike up. And we had a meeting. And I sat and I said to him, this is the presentation that has been made to me. What do you think? He said to me, not only do I think that's what you ought to do, he said, I think that what we need to do as a fellowship is that we need to lay hands on you and we need to send you out with our blessing. And much of the blessing that you and I have received over the last 9.5 years has come as a result of not just pulling myself out and leaving a gap there or going out and trying to get other people from Pastor Mike's church to come with me or any of those kinds of things, but in following the correct protocol. And how many of you know that if this is of God, God can speak to Pastor Jim and God can speak to Pastor Mike. And I will tell you right now, if I had gone to Pastor Mike and he had said to me, no, not now, I'd have gone back to Pastor Jim and said, no, not right now. Because that's what Pastor Jim taught me to do. Stay under your authority. Do what you're told. And I said, yes, sir. So I go to Pastor Mike. He calls me up one Sunday. The entire eldership there and leadership and church, they came and they gathered around me and Michelle and they laid their hands on us and they blessed us and they sent us out to be a blessing to you. And much of the protection that we have enjoyed as a fellowship has been, is, and will continue to be over us as a fellowship. Because I endeavor, not saying I always do it, but I endeavor to try to do it the right way. I'm always reminding myself of spiritual authority. What is the correct order in which to do things? It's never right to do wrong, to do right. Pastor Mike?
In America, we don't understand authority. Because in America, we're taught, get all you can all you can get, and sit on the can. Have what you want. Do what's best for you. It's my world. It's my will, my way. And I fortunately was taught spiritual authority. When I became spirit-filled in the early 80s, I was under a faith teacher. So I learned a lot about the Word. I learned more about the Word in those 5 years than any other time in my life. I sat under some of the greatest apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists that have walked this country. I've sat under them and I received the Word. Then God sent me to the foothills of North Carolina to sit under a pastor who understood spiritual authority. This is why I say spiritual authority is caught, not taught. Because I know too many people who have been taught and taught and taught and taught about spiritual authority, but have no concept of the idea whatsoever because they never caught it. And in talking about it, we need to understand, as we've talked about vision the last couple of weeks, as we've talked about that, in talking about spiritual authority, we need to understand that God is supernaturally doing something in our midst today.
Yes, he is.
And that today we as a people can grasp by the teacher of the Holy Ghost what he's trying to say to the church today. And when we grasp it, then God will do in us what we don't have the ability to do by grace. And that is when we don't have the ability, because many of us have been taught, do it your way. Don't listen to anybody else. Don't do it somebody else's way. Well, that'll get you in that Jim Jones stuff. You'll be drinking poison Kool-Aid. That'll get you out there where you're doing stuff that you don't need to be doing. But you see, when you understand spiritual authority in its truest place, then you understand how it works. Example that we're going to speak today is this, because I've got many of them. But my example is I started last week when I told you about the fact that when I was away fasting and praying, I was an associate pastor of a church. I was away fasting and praying, and the Spirit of the Lord showed me a courthouse. And around the courthouse were people. It's always been interesting to me that instead of showing me a church, he showed me a courthouse. That's because there was much more to the story than a church would have told. But there was a courthouse and there were people. He said, God spoke to me and said, I'm sending you to a place to pastor people who've never been pastored. Lots of things around all of that. But God knew that I was a man who had was becoming to understand what spiritual authority means. And that in order for you to walk in the blessings of God, you better get the blessing of the authorities in your life. So I, first of all, spoke with my pastor. Then I spoke with my father. I went to my father. My father and I have never had a good relationship. We're very, very different. But he is still alive. And as long as there's air in his lungs, he is a spiritual authority in my life. He is a Christian. He is a spiritual authority. Now, he doesn't see things the way I see them. He doesn't understand things that I understand. We are very, very different people. But I knew that in order to walk in the blessings of God, I needed full covering, spiritually speaking. I went to my father and I sat down to him and I said, Daddy, I believe God's called me into full-time senior pastorate ministry. And I don't want to go without your blessing. And I'll never forget the tears I saw in his eyes. And I'll never forget, it was probably the first time he and I had ever had a connection. And he said, Mike, who am I to say that you're not? And I said, Daddy, I don't want to hear that. All I want to hear is that I have your blessing. And he said, of course you do. I said, I can go forward. Then I went to my parents' pastor. My parents' pastor. The church I grew up in Tennessee, was raised up in all the stuff that you're raised up in church. I went to my parents' pastor. Why? Because I felt an unction of the Spirit to go to him. I'll never forget it. Of all the people that I went to, his response was the most moving that I experienced. I went to Brother Thomason and I sat down in his office, called and asked an appointment, sat down in his office. I said, Brother Thomason, I know you don't know me real well. You know my folks. You've known my family. You know my brothers, my sister. You know everybody that's involved. And I said, I've just come to submit something to you as a pastor who has spiritual oversight in my family. Maybe I was taking it too far. I don't know. It was the unction of the Spirit. So I believe I didn't take it too far. But I sat down in front of Pastor Thomason and I said, I believe God's called me into full-time senior pastorate ministry. And I want to submit that to you. I'll never forget his response. He began to weep. And he said, never have I had a young man come and say to me what you've just said to me. He said, everybody's just out there running. He said, Mike, I don't know where you got these principles, but he said, you will walk in the blessings of God. And he fell on his knees behind his desk and he began to call out to God, a good old Southern Baptist preacher. He began to call out to God and weep before God over my life, spiritually speaking. And I'm telling you, when I left that office, I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew I'm covered. I'm covered. And when you know you're covered and you get out there and the humanity of your life shows up, the immaturity of your life shows up, the uneducatedness of your life, if that's a word, shows up, the inabilities of your life shows up, and you say, okay, this is the real me, but I'm covered. I'm covered. I'm covered by God. God Almighty has sanctioned where I am today through men and women that I have submitted myself to. I am sanctioned and covered by God. And I'm going to walk forward. And even when I don't know what to do, I'm going to believe that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. That the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. That there is a call on my life and that I'm going to move forward in it. Even if I show up in my humanity, the call of God, the power of God, the covering of God is bigger. And to understand this in its truest form is to understand that if I submit what's going on in my life to my pastor and to my covering, and they bless what I'm doing, then that moment, my submission becomes their responsibility. It becomes my responsibility as I walk it before God. But for them to bless me and then me get out there and say, well, maybe this isn't God. You know, God would hold them responsible in their positions. Maybe this is getting deeper than I need to, but God is so awesome. And see, in America, we do not understand what it is to submit to authorities. We do not understand. We don't understand that police officers are an authority that we have to submit to. We don't understand that government officials are authorities that we have to submit to. And as we submit to them, God will bless us in it. We have spiritual authorities. I have a pastor that I submit things to. And isn't it amazing that at one point this man was submitted to me? Now the whole thing has turned and I'm submitted to him. People who do not understand authority can't do that.
Right.
I would rise up and say, I'll come to your church and I'll take it and I'll put myself out there and I'll take your church. I would never do that. If anyone ever came to me and said, we want you to be the pastor, not him to be the pastor, that'd be the last time you saw me here. Because I'm not playing that game. Because I'm not playing that game.
Right.
I'm not playing that game. I know where my blessings come from, and I'm not getting out from blessings. People cannot bless you like God will bless you.
Right.
And I'm telling you, because of the submission of God, I have seen things in the last 15 years that I'm telling you most people can live their entire lives and not experience. I've experienced a room full of the presence of God to where everybody in the room fell out under the power of God. And we were in what was being told as the river of God. And I was laying on the floor and I lifted my head. And as I lifted up, I felt myself come out of the river of God. I said, no, I'm not going there. I laid back down. I tangibly experienced the presence of God. I have seen God move in such ways. It's been absolutely unbelievable. On the way to church this morning, I was running late, but on the way to church this morning, I began to think about what we were saying. And this experience came to me. I'm going to share it and then I'll sit down. But there was a couple in our church who understood spiritual authority. The man was a police officer, one of the most respected people that I've ever known of in his field. His name is Mike Musselwhite. He is very much respected in what he does. But he is a man who understands spiritual authority. And he would come to me and he would talk to me about things that were going on. That an 18-month-old baby that was in the hospital, that through a series of events of the hospital messing up, that baby died. And I was with them in the room when the baby died, when they turned off the machines. And I'll never forget when the people were there and he said, he looked at his family, grief. I mean, you can imagine this was their only child at that point. And then there was grief was just unbelievable. And he looked at his family and he said, can y'all give us just a moment alone with Cody? Can you give Melissa and I just a moment alone with Cody? And everybody went, sure. And everybody was leaving. He grabbed me by the arm. He said, I want you to stay. And I backed up and I thought, why would he want me to stay? But I didn't ask anything. I just sat down between the two of them. And they were sitting there and they took this baby in their arms. And there was an experience there that there are no words to tell you what I experienced. But I'll never forget him looking at me and said, I can't do this. I can't do this. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. All I did was put my arms around him. And I said, Father, we need you now more than I've ever known before. We need you now. And I saw the grace of God come in that room and pick all of us up. And for the next few months, carry a family through an experience that I hope no one ever has to go through again. And I'm sure people will. But I saw the grace of God do something. And that man knew that at that moment in his life, he needed a spiritual authority.
Right.
I didn't know what to do, but I knew who my spiritual authority was. And God carried us through that experience in unbelievable ways. They have three more boys today. And the Lord even gave me a dream about Cody one time. It was pretty incredible. I just want you to know that being under spiritual authority is the safest place you'll ever be.
Right.
And if you're not under spiritual, if you do not have spiritual covering, you're wide open for the enemy to eat your lunch. Wide open. And he will run you every which way but loose, and you'll be that person who wanders aimlessly without direction until you die. You have to understand spiritual authority. Now, spiritual authority doesn't stop in the home with the pastor. Every home, there is a spiritual authority. Maybe in Judy's case, her spiritual authority has swapped because Bruce can't be what he used to be. But there's still a point where you can submit to him spiritually. And you understand that. I know you do. In Samima's home, she's the spiritual authority. And Samima, you've taken some steps. I don't even know what they are. This is by the Spirit of God. You've taken some steps lately. You will see the power of God move because you've done it, submitted unto him. So just hold on. Just hold on. But in every household, there is a spiritual authority. Tiffany has a spiritual authority in Trip. Now, she may say, but there's some things about Trip I don't see very spiritual. But see, that's not your place to worry about.
Right.
God's bigger than that. And as you submit to him as the spiritual head, you'll see God do something in him that he doesn't have the ability to do. And it works. It works. And it, when you understand that and you submit it according to God, and I'm not talking about you lay down and you say, well, whatever you say, oh, big one. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about understanding in your heart. Spiritual authority has to begin in the heart before it begins in deep. And that's why it's caught and not taught. Because when you begin to submit it to God and you submit to the spiritual authorities in your life, it makes all the difference in the world. And, you know, there was a point and I agree with Pastor, numbers is not what determines success. What determines success is maturity.
Right.
That's what determines success in God is maturity. And as we as a people catch what God is speaking to us concerning spiritual authority, we will see the maturity of God arise in the house. And we'll see people play in church, go left and right. And we'll see those who really want to be in the right place at the right time, doing what God's called us to do. We're going to see God raise a Gideon's army to defeat a mighty foe and proclaim a glorious victory. Remember that by the Spirit. That we're going to see God raise up an army who's going to defeat a mighty foe and proclaim a glorious victory for the kingdom of God. And not one of us can take any credit for it. I can remember time after time after time that I'd fall before God and say, God, this is so much bigger than I am, and I don't know what to do. And he'd say, that's exactly why I've got you there. Because you know it's bigger than you are. Now watch and see what I can do. Because you can't touch the glory because in and of yourself, you don't have the ability. And y'all, as long as we stay humble before God, submit. But we don't like to hear that in America. But as long as we submit it to the right spiritual authorities. Last week, PJ submitted some things that were going on in his life. and he's experienced some victory this week. That's the way it works. Brian has submitted some things before God. He submitted them in the house of God, and he's seeing it work to where now he's in Bible study and God's speaking to him. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. It comes with understanding spiritual authority. And when you understand that you're covered, you understand you're safe. And when you understand that, then there's safety in continuing to submit your life. You say, but Mike, this sounds so strange. And it sounds like that I'm going to have to do something I might not like. God guarantee you, you're going to do something you're not going to like.
Right. That's exactly right.
Because it's going to cause some flesh to die. In America, we're raised. You do what you want to, when you want to, and how you want to. Don't let nobody tell you any different. That's how we're raised to think. And that's the way our minds are wired. But when we begin to understand the principles of God, and we understand that God is a God of authority, always has been and always will be. There was one who raised up against God in heaven and decided he wanted to proclaim his beauty was greater than God's. And decided that he wanted to be like God, and he was thrown out of heaven. His name is Lucifer. God don't put up with rebellion. It don't happen. But I wanted to share with you today that when God called me to the senior pastorate, I submitted to every authority I could find. And I saw the blessings of God in unmeasurable ways. I've seen things, y'all. One day I'm going to write a book, but I have to wait till somebody dies to write it. or I'll get sued. I have seen things. I've experienced things that just absolutely sometimes I think, God, who am I? Who am I that you would be so wonderful to? Who am I? Who am I, Lord? And he says, well, you're getting it right. As you submit it, I'll bless you. As you submit, I'll bless you. And he does, y'all. I promise you, he does. And if you'll just give it a try, and if you'll start dealing with that little thing on the inside of you that rises up and says, bless God, ain't nobody going to tell me to submit to nobody. You start dealing with that thing. Start dealing with that voice. And you'll begin to see a breaking of a stronghold of the enemy that will bring the blessing of God. You will start seeing the breaking of the stronghold of the enemy that will put you in a place to receive the blessing of God.
I got a couple of things I want to say off of that, but before I do, I want to open the floor, see if anybody's got a question at this point.
When we're under that cover, how minute can a situation be that you have to present it to that cover? Okay. Can you just say, well, I'm under the cover and this is a small little decision I have to make right here, and I think I can make it because I'm under that cover? Or do you just need to?
Yes, I do know what you're asking, and that's a good question. I didn't call Pastor Mike and say, can I cut my fingernails today? Okay. But basically, what spiritual covering is major decisions, an advice person. So if you are wrestling with a decision, that's when spiritual authority comes into play. So, you know, I don't talk to my secular boss about my schedule for the next 2 weeks and then call John to make sure it's okay. But when it is on spiritual matters and it is something that I'm concerned about, I at least know that I've got somewhere I can go that is safe, that I can seek the kind of advice that I'm looking for.
When I deal with my children, I don't run to my pastor and say, what do you think about this? I deal with my children. I'm their daddy and I deal with them. I recently in my home had an experience of setting boundaries with my daughter. And I didn't have to call my pastor and say, well, what do you think about this? Because I know as I'm submitted, I have the blessings of God in areas. Now, if I were to say, okay, I've been offered a job in Roanoke, Virginia, and maybe I need to do that, or maybe I'm going to move back to Nashville, Tennessee, then
he's already run out with Bobby, and I told him no.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I came to him and said, you know, maybe I'm not supposed to be here. Can't seem to get the job situation happening like I think it ought to be. And I'm worried. I'm upset. I'm tense. Things aren't flowing right. Maybe I just need to go back to Nashville. And he said, not now.
And to our point, then what happened after that?
I started seeing the blessings of God like you would not believe.
To our point, that's exactly what we're talking about.
I mean, it's been running me up and overtaking me. Money comes from the strangest places, y'all. I had $1,500 deposited in my bank this week. And I'm like, God, you need to stop this. There's somebody else that needs this more than me. And he said, nah, I'm doing it because you're going to put it where I tell you.
That's exactly right.
I said, okay, go ahead. Bring it on. Bring it on. Because you see, God knows. And I could have packed up and moved to Nashville and probably wouldn't have gotten a miserable job and just been miserable. And then I'd had to pay to move all the way back here so I could be where God's called me to be. I mean, it's tempting sometimes to do that kind of thing.
But
there are things that in my household, I know I can take care of. But when it comes to life-changing things, you better submit it. And if you're going to leave, you better go with the blessings of the house. And don't come in and say, well, God told me to go, or just not show up anymore.
And one of the ways that you can, that one of the sure signs, and correct me if I'm wrong, one of the sure signs that you're not under authority is when you come to anybody and you say, well, God told me. That's the sure sign you're not under authority. Okay? Because I didn't come to Pastor Mike and say, you know, Pastor Jim approached me and God said I should go. Because that's not my call to make. See, my call is this is the offer that has presented itself to me. What do you think that I should do? Okay? And then whatever he says, that's what becomes law. Okay? All right. Any other questions on that? Yes, Judy? Right. Right. And I want to be real careful here. We're not having a problem. The reason we are discussing this issue is because, as I said at the beginning, I don't want us to step on the landmine and implode. That's what I don't want to happen. The biggest obstacle to us obtaining the vision or foreseeing a fulfillment of the vision that God has called us to is if we get out from under spiritual authority. Okay? If the Indians can't run wild on the reservations, the inmates can't be in charge of the asylum. Okay? In everything, God has an order. Let's get back to the illustration here. You know, the thing I want to say about your illustration with Tiffany and Tripp is this, is that all the rules have to be abided by. All the rules. We can't go through the Bible and pick out the ones we like.
That's right.
And use the ones we like and ignore the ones we don't like. Okay? So the scripture does say for the wife to be submitted to her husband. Okay? And I've seen husbands who will lord over their wives because that's what the Bible says. Ignoring the fact that what the Bible also says is, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. See? And so it's not,
well, I'm the boss around here. You're going to do what I say because God said you had to.
Okay, well, hey, if God said you had to and you have to, then God said you had to and you had to. See? Because all the rules apply. All the rules apply. We can't just pick and choose our way through it. But what happens, and here's what happens, What happens when the family structure is out of order is that the children suffer. Mm-hmm. Because one of the rules is a man cannot serve two masters. For he will love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and despise the other. That's another rule. That's another principle. We'll call it kingdom law. That's another law of the kingdom. And so if mama and daddy are always in an authority structure with each other, then the kids will gravitate towards one or the other and despise the other. Mm-hmm. Because that's what the scripture says will happen. And that's what will happen. And what they'll do is they'll gravitate towards the one who always says yes. Thank you. They'll gravitate towards the one who always says yes. And they will grow up and learn to despise the other one because they didn't say yes. They'll grow up to just because the principles work. It's like in my sales training class. The one thing I talk about all the time is the law of averages. Sales is all about the law of averages. And what I tell my guys is this. The law of averages is either working for you or you don't have to do anything at all and it will automatically work against you. Mm-hmm. This is one of the illustrations I give them. I say, if all of us crawl up on top of this building and jump off, how many of us are going to hit the parking lot? All of us.
First.
All of us. Yeah. All of us are going to hit the parking lot. Why is that? Because none of us are exempt from the law of gravity. None of us are exempt from the law of averages. None of us are exempt from any law principle of the kingdom of God. We are either, here's the principle, okay? You tithe, or I cut a hole in your pocket. Make up your mind. That's what he said. That's what he said. He said, I'll pull your pocket wrong side out, I'll cut a hole in the bottom of it, and I'll put your pocket back in your pants, and when you stick your money in there, it'll fall out your pants later. That's what he said. Modern translation, the gospel according to James, Paul, but that's an accurate translation of what he said.
And that's okay? The kind of person that no matter how much they make, they never have any money.
They never have any money. Yeah. Right. They never have any money. No matter how much they make, they never have any money. They could win the lottery and in 6 months, they'd be broke.
That's right.
They'd be broke. Because God, they move themselves out from under the protection of God. And so, if you talk about tithe, or if you talk about family life, if you talk about anything you want to talk about, if we move ourselves out from under the blessing, the umbrella of God's blessing, we immediately, here's another principle of the kingdom. There is one who is watching you to step out. His desire towards you is to kill you, to steal from you, and to destroy you, and to drag your soul into hell. And he is watching you like a hawk. And you step out from under, and he will snatch a knot in your rear end in a skinny minute. And that's why we can't afford to be out from under spiritual authority. Anyone else have a question? Something you'd like to add? Pastor, yes, sir. That's correct. The scripture says is that rebellion is the exact same sin as witchcraft. So every time we are in rebellion, we are practicing witchcraft. That's exactly what we're doing. Talking about your spiritual authorities will make you do things you don't want to do. One of my favorite stories to tell about that is when I was involved in my traveling ministry, I was going up through Illinois one time, and I was supposed to sing at a church on a particular Wednesday night. I had talked to the pastor. We had made the schedule. I had sent him all the promotional materials, the article for the newspaper, the posters to go up throughout the church, an insert for his bulletin. I'd sent him everything to tell the church that I was coming to do this concert on a Wednesday night. Somehow or another on his schedule, he failed to put it down. And so he went on vacation. That particular week I arrived, he was on vacation and they had canceled Wednesday night service. So I show up at the church and nobody even knows I'm coming. And so I talked to the associate pastor and he made some phone calls. We wound up getting a few people to come together and I still did my concert and all that kind of stuff. And 2 weeks later, I get a letter in the mail from him with him critiquing a service he wasn't even at, telling me all the things that I had done wrong. Now, what do you think was my first response? You know, that I wanted to call him up and tell him, you know, where the bear goes in the woods is what I wanted to do, you know. But what I did was, is I took the letter and I took it to Clarence and I took it to Pastor Jim and I took it to the elders. And this is what they said to me. Write him a letter back and apologize. And you know what I said to them? Take that letter and put it in your notes. That's what I said to them. I said, I am not going to send this guy a letter and tell him I'm sorry that I did whatever it was you perceived I did when you're the jerk in this situation. I'm not going to do it. And they said, that's up to you. And I walked out of that meeting mad as I could be. And got over it and wrote the man a letter and apologized. Because even though I said I wasn't, I really didn't have the right not to. Once I'd been told, the centurion said, I have a servant. I tell him what to do and he goes and does it. I threw a temper tantrum. Clarence and the elders and Pastor Jim, they stood there and watched me foam at the mouth and splash at the floor and bang my fist. And when I got done, they said, you feel better? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, then go do what we said. Because this is the right thing to do. Tripp texted me this week about a little problem he was having. I texted him back, take the high road. Can I make him? No. Can't make him take the high road. But as his father, the best advice I know to give you is take the high road. Rise yourself up above whatever it is you're involved in right now. Take the high road. Is it going to pay off for you today, son? No. But is it going to pay off for you down the road? Yes. Yes. Because when we sow good seed, we get good harvest. But when you sow bad seed, you're always going to get a bad harvest. Because the principle of the law, the principle of the kingdom of sowing and reaping works. It works. One of the, my lost boss, I got a lost boss and a saved boss. I hadn't thought about that. My lost boss, he understands the principle of faithful in the little.
Ruler of much.
Ruler over much. He understands that. He doesn't know that that's what the principle is. If I told it to him right now, he'd go, what? But what he says is this. If I ask you to do a little small thing and you won't do it, what makes me think you'll do anything I ask you to do? Mm-hmm. Same principle. And you know what? The principle works for him. The principle works for him because the principles will work for a lost man because the sun shines, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The principles still work. He may, I pray to God, I pray he doesn't die and go to hell, but he may die and go to hell and the principles have been working for him. Because the principles work because they are the principles. The laws work because they are the law. Not because you love Jesus, but because Jesus loves you. That's why there's order in the universe. Because God created it with an order. He created it with a structure. He created it to flow.
And you may ask, what causes balance? The biggest thing that causes balance is, understand, as long as your authorities are not doing anything illegal
or immoral,
as long as it's not illegal or immoral, just flow. But God's bigger than everything else.
But the pastor who comes to the lady in the church and says, you can sleep with me, it's okay, I'm the pastor, that is not okay. That is not submission to spiritual authority. That's lust on his part and lust on hers. Actually, I don't know that I want to get into this. It's actually lust on his part and insecurity on hers is what it is. But that's why that happens. Okay. Okay? Because, right. Then you wait. You don't move out from under that. You wait. But see, we're in such a hurry. We can't wait. But you wait. That's what you do, is you wait. The story I tell about when I came to my leadership with an idea concerning my ministry, and all three of them said no, no, and no. I knew God had spoken to me. I knew God had said, here's an idea birthed out of my spirit into your heart. This is what I want you to do. I came to them to clear, and they all three said no, no, and no. I said, okay, that's fine. Well, what I did was, it was 2 or 3 months later, I walked in one of them's office and they said to me, you know, I can't get away from that question you asked me a couple of months back. That thing has just haunted me. I believe God's in that. And from there, it went boom and took off. You wait on God because God's big enough to be waited on. God's big enough to be waited on. And here's the thing. Before it came to you, it was already in God's heart. And before you ever came to your leadership, God knew what they were going to respond to. He's weaving it all together, ladies and gentlemen. He's weaving it all together. We just tie his hands up with our unwillingness to wait on the Lord. Oh, we don't mind standing in church and raising our hands and singing, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. But we don't want to wait. We want God to be Google. We want instant access to all the information we want to have. And God's not interested in being Google. He's not a McDonald's drive-up window. That's exactly right. Place your order and here it is. Doesn't work that way. And I'll close with it. And you have something else? I'll just close with this too. When you're a person who understands spiritual authority and you live your life in that, what I find then is that people will have more trust in you. My lost boss and my saved boss, they both trust me explicitly. And I've worked very hard to maintain that trust and that integrity, because one of them will tell me something. They will say to me, now I'm going to tell you this, but you can't tell anybody. You know what? I don't tell anybody. As much as I like them both, I don't tell one what the other said and this is what that one said. I don't tell them. I maintain my integrity and I maintain their trust. But the reason why they know that they can trust me is because they have never asked me to do something that I've not gone and done. One of the reasons I trust them is because they've asked me to do some things that were not illegal or immoral, but that I disagreed with. One of them's management style I definitely disagree with. You know, anybody know what, y'all know what seagull management is? That's the manager that flies in, squawks a lot, poops all over everything, and flies back out. How many of you ever worked for that guy? Okay, I've worked for those seagull guys, you know. One of them, that's kind of his management style. And he's asked me to do things that I thought were perfectly aligned with his style and went 100% against mine. He gives me the freedom to speak up. And I say to him, I don't necessarily agree with that, and this is why. We discuss it, but when the discussion is done, if I've not changed his mind, I gotta go and do what I was told to do. Now I may not do it the way he did. I'm not going to fly in, squawk, poop a lot, and fly back out. I'm still going to temper it down to the way that my personality will present it. Okay? But I'm going to go and do what I was told, because I was told by the boss to do it. And what has, and the benefit from that has been is that I have gained his trust. I'm hoping that in gaining his trust, I'm going to gain his ear. And in gaining his ear, I want to lead him to Jesus. I'm going to tell you right now, that's my ultimate end. My ultimate end is not to sit on the board of directors at Windstream. My ultimate end is to see his knee bow this side of eternity and declare Jesus as Lord. And when I see that happen, I'm going to walk up to him after it happens. I'm going to say, now listen, if you'll be as big a person for Jesus as you were a, you know what, for yourself, we got ourselves a firecracker here. But some people are just like that. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand together. Lord, we don't want to be out from under your protection. We don't want to be out from under your blessing. We don't want to walk in our own way, because I've walked in my own way, and man, it has led me to nothing but trouble. I want to hear your voice speak into my ear and say, turn to the right, turn to the left. God, I pray for John Jenkins. Service he's in right now, God. I ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit to fall in such a way as like he has never experienced before. I ask you to bless Helen. Bless Helen, God. And bless John. And we thank you, Lord, for their leadership over this fellowship. And God, we ask you to speak to them loud and clear when they speak to us. And you will find us to be obedient to you by being obedient to them. We thank you, God, that ultimately you're the shepherd. And we long to hear your voice. Our hearts desire to do what you say and to follow you as a good and as a faithful and as a servant. That's what we want to be. In Jesus' name, amen.